We're continuing this study this morning of the book of Nehemiah chapter 7. The book of Nehemiah chapter 7, we're going to read the first two verses of this book, of this chapter. Today we're going to talk about behind the wall. Nehemiah chapter 7, the first two verses. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious word? Verse 1 begins, "Then it was when the wall was built, and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many." Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray your blessings upon your word. We pray you would open our minds now and our hearts to receive, Lord, your word. Lord, speak to us. Speak your truth and wisdom among us this morning. We give you all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Behind the wall. We're at a point where it says the wall was built. The first thing we're going to look at this morning are the people behind the wall. Can you imagine what they must have been feeling at this point? The project is complete. Now I want you to stop and think about what they've been through, okay? I mean, they have poured their all into the completion of this project. And now they're done. They're finished. It's over. All the hard work, day in, day out, it's done. You ever been to that point where you just poured all of yourself into something? And you finally get to that point where it's, we're there. We made it. Well, we've studied the first seven chapters have been all about building that wall. And in chapter 7, he finally makes this statement. It's finished now. Can you imagine what they're thinking? I can imagine, Nehemiah's got to be thinking, it's over. I can go back to the king and be the cupbearer in my old job. The people have to be thinking, the people of Jerusalem have to be thinking, I'm going to take a good long rest. We can relax. We can back off. We can chill. We can take it easy. It's time to stop. They have their wall. Have you ever considered when you get to that point where you've accomplished what you set out to do? The children of Israel. Building this wall, they've done, the bricks are in place, and now they back up and they've got, I just want you to imagine yourself there, looking and thinking, we're done, complete, finished, over. Now we're somebody, now no longer will we be the laughing stock of the region, no longer will people look at us as a city that's broken down and beaten up. We have a wall. Do you see the significance of that? I can tell by the look on your face, you're impressed. They have a wall. What good news, what great news, what outstanding news. They have a wall. Let's just back up and dwell on that just a moment. Just makes me feel better thinking about it. How about you? Do you feel better now? They have a wall. A good wall. A strong wall. What's the significance? What's the importance? That wall is simply a mechanism of security and protection. But I want to point out to you, as they say these words, the wall was finished. That wall meant absolutely nothing had it not been for the people behind the wall. All they've got is just a wall. It doesn't mean that much. It's the people behind the wall that gives it meaning. The wall itself may be nothing, but add the people, and it's a testimony to the greatness of their God. See, that's the good part. And today I want to challenge you to beware of the pitfall that we get into so often. See, so far in our study today, the messages have been challenging. They've been, get up, get involved, get with it. Lord, make me a success or make me successful. Lord, I want to be a spiritual success. I want to do great things in your kingdom. And folks, you have stepped up. I've got to admit, I've been so blessed to watch people over the last couple of months as they grow in the Lord. I look at the ministries that are growing, the Awana ministry, the teen ministry, the college ministry. And a couple of weeks ago, or 2 or 3 weeks ago, I encouraged you. I said, we need help in Awana. Guess what happened? People stepped up. And now we go back and those kids are taken care of on Wednesday nights. Those kids are learning their verses on Wednesday night. Absolutely awesome. Sunday morning Bible study. Do you realize in the last month we've set 2 record attendances? And today was one of them. For our Sunday school, our Bible study. If you like this, amen. 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 Isn't that awesome? You know what's happening? People are realizing the importance of God's Word. People are getting excited about learning God's Word. We've begun a ministry at the Main Street Mission of serving food once a month. The first Monday of each month. We're going down at noon and we're serving meals at the Main Street Mission. Awesome. Wonderful. People have stepped up. Today we began our Main Street Mission food drive. If you didn't bring your food today, bring it this afternoon. Bring it tonight. We're going to fill that trailer up every week. Okay? And I've got to confess, I didn't bring mine this morning. I've been encouraging you to bring your food. And I'd bring, you know, even pastors can blow it sometime. Okay? But you know what? This afternoon it's going to get in that trailer. Okay, I confess, but I'm so excited to see these ministries. And on Sunday night, man, have you looked over here on Sunday night? If you missed Sunday night, you've been missing the blessing. Okay, but over here on Sunday night, we have the youth orchestra joins our adult orchestra. And there's so many people in this side, you can't even hardly get any more in there. And let me tell you something, they sound good. Good. I mean, those kids can blow those horns. They are, but it's, you know, and I tell you all this just to point out to you how that God is blessing, but I want to also point out to you the blessing, the significance is not in the Awana, the teen, the college program. The significance is not in the Main Street Mission ministry. The significance is not in the Sunday school. The significance of what's going on is the people or are the people that's submitting themselves to be used of the Lord. It is the thing that makes Victory Baptist Church special are the people of Victory Baptist Church. Without the people, all we have is a wall. And it don't mean anything. It means nothing. And you see, the pitfall, the warning that I opened with today is often we come to that point, God's blessing. Man, God's, we're doing wonderful things and we're just so excited. But you know what? It's time for me to back off. Time for me to quit. Time for me to slow down. Time for me, you know. Listen, if you get tired, you know what you do? If you get tired, you take a break. You know what a break is? A day or two. Do like Jesus, steal away, get with God in prayer, you know, kind of recharge the batteries. We all need that on occasion. But let me tell you, success does not give us an excuse to quit. It's the people that will carry the ministries of Victory Missionary Baptist Church into the future. Let us be as determined now as we were a month, a year, 2 years, 10 years ago. Let us have a greater determination than ever to be used of God in a mighty way so that the world can see the awesome God that we serve. See, that's our goal. That's our goal. The important thing are the people behind the wall. The important thing is that through those people, the world see the greatness of our God. Then we look at the preparation of the people behind the wall. Nehemiah prepares his replacements. You see, Nehemiah promised the king that he would be gone for so long. And then he would return to his old position in the castle, or in the king's court, okay, in the palace. The big question that comes to mind is, what will happen when Nehemiah leaves? I mean, he's been the instigator of this project. He's been the overseer of this project. He's been the one that showed the most courage, the most strength, who refused to quit no matter who stood up against him. He's been the drive behind this project. What's going to happen when he leaves? If it were not for him, there probably wouldn't even be a wall. But he's made a commitment to the king. He's got to go back. He's got to leave. And in the text that we read, it said, "I gave charge of Jerusalem." You see, there had to be someone who was trustworthy and able to step in when he was going to be gone. Someone that he could trust to put in his place, and so that when he left, he would never be missed. Now, I don't know how long it's going to be. I mean, we're just halfway through this book. We don't know. I don't have a time period, but I do see Nehemiah making preparation for the future and putting people in place so that when he does go back to the palace, they'll never miss him. And the city, the work there, will not suffer. This morning, I want to give you a 50-year plan for Victory Missionary Baptist Church. Been studying all week. I figured it out, okay? You ready for the 50-year plan of Victory Missionary Baptist Church? Here's the 50-year plan. You begin with, you do not know where you will be tomorrow. Okay? I mean, know for a fact. You do not know where you will be tomorrow. I want you to grab that, okay? Most of us have plans tomorrow. Some plan to go to work, some plan to do other things, but we do not know where we are going to be tomorrow. But what we do know is that we will not be here forever. Okay? The Bible tells us, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Okay? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know where we're going to wind up. But I ask you this question: when you're gone, what will happen to your ministry? Think about it. When you're gone, what's going to happen to your ministry? And we're talking about church ministry. We're talking about your family. We're talking about your friends. When you're gone, what's going to happen to your ministry? You see, all too often, we faithfully serve, very dedicated to the position in which God places us. And that's right, we should. But sometimes we even mark our territory and say, "This is my job, this is what I do, and don't you try to take my job." You ever seen older, mature Christians like that? "Well, that's what I do." Well, maybe you need to let somebody else do it. That's what I've wanted to say a time or two. But I never have. But what I'm pointing at is this. It's not about what you do. The important thing is not so much that every Sunday you serve or every week you serve in your call position, because one of these days you're going to leave here. The Lord may move you. The Lord may take you home, but you're going to leave. And what's going to happen to your ministry when you're gone? You have to train your replacements, okay? You have to have people who are able and willing to step into your place so that when you're gone, the church does not suffer, okay? Whether we're talking about Sunday school classes, whether we're talking about pastor, even myself, this is really convenient to bring up today because Brother Wade Ivey's preaching tonight. See, I'm practicing what I preach, right? Oh, listen, I love, God has blessed us with young preachers in this church. And what a tremendous blessing he has entrusted us with through those guys. And I love to hear them preach. I love to watch them grow. But you know why I try to get them to preach every so often? Because one of these days I'm not going to be here. One of these days My position's going to change. And when it does, someone else is going to have to stand in this pulpit and feed God's church every Sunday. Now, don't get me wrong. Okay, listen. This isn't an I'm leaving message. Okay? I've made comments like that. And they said, people, you know, in the past, said, Brother Doug, are you going somewhere? Not that I know of. All right? But God's in control. Right? But I do know that I won't always be here. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, And the things you have heard of me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others. If you want to gauge if you have had a good ministry, you watch what happens after you're gone. That applies to preachers. You want to watch and see if a good pastor was a good pastor? It's not when everybody likes him and he builds the church based on his personality and his catering to the needs of the membership. That's not it. Listen, I've been there and done that. And I watched a church after God moved me that suffered tremendously because Brother Doug wasn't there. I never want to do that again. If the Lord moves me, I want to see Victory Missionary Baptist Church not only maintain, but to grow and be stronger than ever before. Because we have trained people who are able to step into that position. Okay? We have that responsibility. Besides, do you realize that we are serving a God that has a promotion plan? He has a promotion plan. And we're all looking forward to being promoted. Sometimes He promotes us into other ministries. Okay? Calls us to different areas. But the greatest promotion I can think of is that one of these days, I'm going to glory to be with my Jesus. Listen, that is the promotion of promotion. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that I can receive you to myself. Where I am, you may be also. One of these days, if you're a child of God, we are leaving here. It may be through death, and it may be at the trumpet sound. We just split this earth quick, fast, and in a hurry, go meet Jesus in the air. What a day that'll be. Okay? But listen, we don't know when that time is coming. Until that time, we have to build a ministry. We have to train ministers. We have to train our replacements. How you doing with that? Seriously. Everyone here has a ministry. How are you doing? Do you even realize that applies to parenting? I loved being a parent. When you get good at it, your kids move off and, you know, But you know why you're raising kids? You're raising kids to carry on the legacy. And it's not a legacy of a name. It's not a legacy of an earthly empire. It is a legacy of the kingdom of God. You raise kids so that they can pass on to your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren all the goodness of the mighty God that you serve. What am I saying? There has to be preparation of the people behind the wall. Otherwise, all you have is just a wall. Then finally, there has to be proven people behind the wall. I skipped part. There has to be proven people behind the wall. Men and women, when I say men, I'm talking about mankind. All right? Men and women who have a reputation. As Nehemiah was looking for his replacements, he was looking for men he could count on, men he could trust, men who were of proven character, men who he had seen that displayed in their daily life that they were going to serve the Lord faithfully. And he chose two men. First man he chose was not Hananiah. It was Hanani. Must have been a typo on my part. Okay? Hanani. Just stop with the I. It's Nehemiah's brother. And the reason he chose him, I believe it was for his heart. Because as you read and you look at Hanani, he was the one that took the news to the palace, to Nehemiah in the first place. And when Nehemiah asked him, how are the folks back home? How are the folks in Jerusalem? He did not say, oh, don't worry about it. They're okay. You got a good job. Man, enjoy the blessings of the Lord. You know what he did? He was brutally honest with Nehemiah when Nehemiah asked about the folks back home. He said there, the people are in great distress. The walls are broken down. The city is in reproach. We're the laughingstock of everyone. He painted a gloomy picture, but a realistic picture of the city. I believe it was because he cared. Listen, we need people who care about the right things. I want you to think about that statement. Men and women of proven character are men and women who care about the right things. Men and women who lay aside selfishness. Men and women who are willing to sacrifice for the good of the kingdom of God. Men or women who are just plain willing to care. It's easy not to worry about anything but yourself. It's easy to back up and say, I don't like this and I don't like that. Quite frankly, it doesn't matter if you like it or not. It matters whether God approves of it or not. People of character, people with a heart, are people who are willing to be moved at the sight of a lost person. People willing to be moved at the burdens of others. People who are willing to feel. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to feel? You get so busy in life that you don't just stop and feel. I've heard people who just don't care. And they wonder why they're so in such turmoil on the inside. I've watched people whose life was all about themselves, who get mad when things didn't go their way. And I've watched as that kind of attitude just left them empty. And you know what the problem was? The problem was they really didn't care about others, about Jesus. They were just plain old selfish, and they couldn't figure out why they were not happy. It's because they cared about the wrong things. You know, I made the statement of all the progress or the way that people have stepped up in the last month, the different ministries of the church. You know what the most encouraging thing about it is? The most encouraging thing about it is that people really care. People really care. You know, when people come to me as a pastor and tell me, Brother Doug, I just want you to know, that is the friendliest church that you pastor over there. Those people just genuinely care. You know what? That does something to me. That means we're caring about the right things. We want to be people with a reputation that we have a heart for people. That's what Main Street Mission's about. That's what Awana's about. That's what Teen Ministry's about. That's what Senior Ministry's about. It's about having a heart for people. And when we see things that are not right, having the boldness of heart enough to step up and say, Lord, use me to fix it. I think that was the kind of man Hanani was. Then the second guy that he chose Hanani. for his hardness. Hananiah. The description of Hananiah was that he was a faithful man. That word faithful in the Hebrew means firmness, reliability. Fear of the Lord, it said about him. Stand in awe or reverence. And when you put those two together, you had a man that you could always count on to follow God. Here's what we're looking for today in the kingdom of God. Men and women who are proven so that we know, so that God knows that you can always count on them to follow God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul offered these words. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." I like those words, steadfast and immovable. You know what that really means? Where are you today? Okay? At the drop of the hat, do you lay aside your spiritual values and chase after the fleshly desires? When you want to fit in, do you lay aside your spiritual principles and go over here with the unpopular crowd? When Paul challenged the Corinthians to be steadfast, immovable, he was talking about being bulldog stubborn, that this is where you're going to find me, that no matter the circumstance, no matter the hardship, no matter the challenges, I'm going to be found serving the Lord, period, end of conversation. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? That's what Hananiah was. That was his hardness, unwilling to give and bend and bow no matter the circumstances. Listen, we need to be people who are always the same. Our reputation, our provenness needs to be a people that are consistent. I'm smiling because the thought just come to my mind. I don't remember who it was. But I was talking to a person one time about church membership. And that person may be here. I don't know. I don't remember. It's been so long. But I remember the conversation. And they were talking about joining the church. And they said, "Boy, you know, we don't know." And I explained to them, you know, what was required for church membership. Number one requirement is being a child of the King. You've got to be saved, right? Okay? You can't be a church member without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the part that brings us, bonds us all together. The second requirement is, of course, scriptural baptism. That's our public testimony, our identification with Christ. Anyway, I explained to them, and they backed up, and they said, "Really? Is that all?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Well, we were told it was hard to become a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church." I said, "You were? Why?" They said, "I don't know. They said y'all had a bunch of rules." But I was kind of discouraged when they said that, but I was kind of encouraged because you know what people had heard? People had heard that the membership of Victory does stand on the principles of God's Word. There's a reputation that I want us to have, is that we believe in what God tells us in His Word. And that's where we make our stand. We have to be consistent. There has to be a hardness about us. Oh, there are some things that we may, you know, disagree on do differently that absolutely doesn't have anything to do with the Word of God, the type of singing and the order of service and all that. That's not the point. But when it comes to the Word of God, God said what He meant and He meant what He said. I don't believe we have the right to change, to adjust, to do anything except take it to heart. That's my challenge to you this morning. We need to be a people who are a proven people behind the wall, a people who have a heart, a people who care, but a people who will stand firm upon the principles of God's Word. A consistent people. Listen, where do you start? Where do you start in this walk? You start in this walk. The first step in building the wall is to become a child of God. Now listen, I'm going to make this short and sweet, okay? Because I know it's almost 11:30, and I'm supposed to quit at 11:30. We're going to make it, all right? But I want you to get this, okay? You must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So many people have the attitude, the concept, well, if I'm going to church, I'm okay. Or if I've been baptized, I'm okay. No, you must be born again. You have to be born twice. First time, you're born of the flesh. That's no problem. Everybody here is born of the flesh, or you wouldn't be here, right? But you must be born from above also. That heavenly birth. Are you a child of the King? If not, friends, there is no reason to walk out of here on your way to hell. Okay? No reason whatsoever, because Jesus has offered the invitation that whoever calls upon Him will be saved. You're a prayer away from salvation. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's all about what Jesus did. Well, Brother Doug, I think you've got to be a good person. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. You look in God's Word. It said, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Have you made that commitment? If you have not, you need to do it today. Second step, building your wall, taking your stand for God, is baptism. Have you been scripturally baptized? By scriptural baptism, I'm talking about it's your public testimony, all right? Now, when we talk about scriptural baptism, okay, I'm not going to make 11:30, but that's okay. Hang with me. When we talk about scriptural baptism, you got to have two things. Number one, you got to have a scriptural candidate. That's the person who has truly given their life to Christ. They had that salvation experience. Okay? Second thing you got to have is a scriptural authority. It's done by church authority. When I don't baptize. I don't do it. Victory Missionary Baptist Church baptizes me. I may hold you in the water, you know, and let you down in the water, but I'm just the tool. It's by the authority of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. All right? Second thing, third thing that's got to happen with baptism is you got to be dunked. Okay? You have to be immersed. The very word baptism means to immerse. All right? I know there are a lot of religions out there that sprinkle. There are a lot of religions out there that they'll pour a cup of water and call it baptism. No, it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right? You have to receive scriptural baptism. That means to be buried in the water of baptism, covered, and rise to walk in newness of life. Have you received scriptural baptism? If not, you can't build your wall. You can't serve. Why? Because that's the first act of obedience. Maybe you're here today and you've got all that. You've been saved. You've been scripturally baptized. But the serving part has been the problem. Could it be that you've been caring about the wrong things? Could it be that you've been caring about the wrong things? Listen, if it don't matter 50 years from now, it don't matter. Okay? If it doesn't have eternal consequences, it don't matter. It don't matter. But what you do for the kingdom of God will never be forgotten. That's laying up treasures in heaven. Okay? Maybe today you're here and it's time for renewed commitment, rededication. I'd invite you to come to this invitation. Maybe the Lord is leading you to become a member of this church. I'd invite you to come. Whatever your spiritual need is, okay? I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I'm just giving you the steps. You've got to start somewhere. It starts with salvation. You build on with baptism. You continue on with commitment and service in the kingdom of God and caring about the right things. Where are you today? Where are you today? As we pray, the idea of this whole sermon series has been, Lord, make me successful. We don't want to be successful in the world, in the world's view. Not talking about money, not talking about lands, not talking about properties. We're talking about spiritual success. If you're going to be a spiritual success, you got to get on track. And it starts with salvation, baptism, committed life, caring about the right things. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your word that we have to look and to learn from you. Now we've come to the point of invitation, Lord. You know every heart, and you know every knee. And Lord, right now, help us all to dismiss all those around us, to focus upon just you, and help us, Lord, to do business with you. To listen as you convict, to listen as you lead, to listen as you tell us what we should do. I pray, Lord, your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.